Hey y'all, how y'all doing? I'm Brother Prater. I wanted to come on here today, really just talk from my heart. Today is the second year that my sister has been gone. She was killed 2 years ago today through the hands of domestic violence. And I want to tell y'all, you know, it's been 2 years and it still seems like it was a few hours ago that I had got the phone call. Actually, a few seconds ago that I got that phone call. And I'm going to tell you, you know, nobody understands the hurt and pain that a sudden death, an uncalled for death like this can bring. But I want to come on here just to share my heart and to let people know that domestic violence is real. And do not ever feel that it can never happen to you. Don't ever feel like, well, you know, he loved me or he would never do that to me. You never know what a person may potentially do, especially when they have psychiatric problems, mental health issues, a criminal record, behavioral problems. You never know what a person may do, especially if they are jealous. I'm going to tell you something. When you deal with a controlling person, when you deal with a manipulative person, and they see like they're losing power, they'll try to do any and everything. Bully. You know, so it not just pertaining to waiting until he or she physically do something to you. Listen to the verbal conversations that they give you. You know, what do they say? You know, pay attention to what a person says and forget about where they were just playing. Even if he says something out of line, well, he was just playing. Take all threats seriously. Nobody in their right mind would ever say anything to somebody that they love, would say anything and do anything harmful that they love. And especially, like I said, they got a criminal record with robbing banks, robbing, sticking up people. That's a coward move. Cowards do that. And you want a man, but you're with a coward. Listen, do not wait for them to change or to become better. You don't do that. That ain't your job. If their parents didn't do it, why would you do it? That's a sign right there. But you know, it just hurts my heart because, you know, a lot of times people don't understand the relationship that a person is in. It's not just you by yourself in that relationship. You got to think about what would happen to me if something happens. You know, your family, those that love you, are left with the broken pieces of their life. You know, I hate, even though I hurt, and sometimes I'm able to hide it, sometimes I'm not. But what hurts me more, it's not just the hurt that I deal with, but the hurt that I see from my family. I see the hurt of my dad and my mama, my brothers, my nephews, my nieces, even my son. You know, I'm gonna be real with you. Look here. My mama and dad had 4 boys and 1 girl. My sister was the only girl. I ain't got no more sisters. Only had one. And even when I would talk to her, I would always say, girl, you my favorite sister. And she would say, I'm your only sister. Well, guess what? My favorite, my only sister, ain't here no more. I ain't got no more sisters. All I got are brothers. That's it. You know, I hope what I'm saying, it resonates in somebody's heart to let them know, if you are in a relationship that's toxic, that's violent, get help. Get out immediately. Get some help. Find some help. Tell somebody. Don't ever feel like you got to get out of this yourself. We're a community. We're a family. We don't have to be related by blood. We can be related by love. I love you enough for you to get some help. But this right here, I'm tired of seeing on the news or reading on social media about someone else losing their life because of some jealous punk. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of it. Yeah. And as a church, we got to talk about this, because this is what's going on, especially during a freaking pandemic. There are many people that are stuck in a domestic violence relationship, marriage, and they feel stuck. And some people, well, you know, if you leave, God gonna get you. That devil is a lie. No. God don't want you to be abused either. God didn't make you a punching bag. God made you a human being. But only cowards, male or female, cowards would try to control and manipulate somebody. Nah. My sister lost her life because some jealous punk, some hard-headed punk, some narcissistic dude. And you know what? If I want to see my sister, I have to go see dirt. I have to go see her gravesite. I don't want that on. I don't want that for anybody. And I'm going to tell you this, for those guys who may feel like it's okay to control a woman or try to change her or whatever like that, if you got to verbally assault somebody, not just physically, if you got to verbally assault somebody, put somebody down, leave them alone, get with somebody that you feel is already there at your level. Just point blank. Like I said, look here. Yeah, I'm Reverend Prater, brother. I always tell people, call me Brother Prater. That's why I changed my name to Brother Prater. I don't need no title. As long as God gave me the position, titles don't matter. I don't have to prove a point to anybody. So, putting aside the pastoral or the ministerial title, I'm talking to you from one man to another. I'm talking to you as a mother, as a brother, as a father, as an uncle, whatever. Talk to that guy and that young lady. Life is too short to be in some type of miserable relationship where you end up not even sure how a person going to react when they wake up in the morning. You don't know if that person going to be punching on you, cussing you out, and all that stuff. Their problems becoming your problems, and especially you ain't married to them. Child, please. I'm tired of seeing this. I'm tired of hearing about somebody losing their life. I'm tired of hearing about these young ladies losing their life because of some jealous punk. Point blank. You know, and I'm going to tell you like this. For those who may be upset or offended me calling somebody out of their name, first of all, I'm not cursing. Number two, nobody in my shoes. If you were in my shoes, I promise you, you'd probably be calling them something or probably would have done something more than me. You know, so just keeping it real. You know, this is where I have to be at right now. This is where I have to be at right now. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to turn the camera around for y'all to see where I'm at. I'm at my sister's gravesite right now. Domestic violence is real. Toxic relationships are real. This is where I have to spend my time to see my sister's pictures and to reflect on the memories that we had, past tense. But you got a chance. You got a chance. If you're in a toxic relationship or an abusive relationship, say something. Tell everybody. Don't ever feel like, well, you know, he said that if I tell somebody, he gonna kill me, he gonna kill my family. No. First of all, that's a threat that should be taken seriously, but also think about it. He wants you to remain silent. He don't want you to say anything to anybody because he does not want you to get a heads up on him. So y'all can do something to him, or y'all can get the police, y'all can get whatever, whoever to intervene. Think about it. If you dealing with somebody that's so controlling, so manipulative, get help immediately. Immediately. Leave them type of dudes alone. And do not think that you can change him. Or maybe if I give him some, maybe if I change, maybe he'll be better. That ain't your responsibility. That is not your responsibility. Look here. If they won't let God change him, it sure won't change because of you. I don't care what you got between your legs or what kind of twerk move you can do or how you can go down on them. That doesn't matter. It does not matter. So, we need to do something to help save these people's lives, help save the young lady's life. I'm tired of hearing of somebody's daughter getting killed, somebody's son being locked up because they killed their girlfriend, they killed their baby mama. Tired of it. And like I said, we as a church, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about these issues. We have to talk about it. We can't be naive to what's going on with it. Look here. We up here talking about Peter, Walter, Water, Water, Cold, Chill, My Body, Not My Soul. But we seeing domestic violence in our own church. Yes, we are. Especially during this pandemic. We got people stuck in the house with somebody that's causing them mental anguish, verbal anguish. And the poor kids wake up every morning scared. They peeing in the bed, peeing on themselves in the bed because they in fear. That's not the abundant life that God has for us. Yeah, I'm gonna say scripture. Jesus came for us to have an abundant life, which is a better quality of life. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that sounds like some of the abusers that are killing our young girls. The devil. So, you know, this may or may not be the type of message y'all want to hear, but this is the type of message that you do need to hear. You know, I'm here today. I'll be here tomorrow. But that's for me to see my sister. I can't call her anymore. I can't text her anymore. I can't inbox her anymore. I can't make a post about her where we talk about each other, having fun. I can't ask my sister out on a date no more. I can't see her response if she turned me down again. I can't do that. But you have a chance to communicate with your family. You have a chance to communicate with your brother. My sister doesn't. You know. So, like I said, this ain't for no pity. Don't feel sorry for me. First of all, I had a great relationship with my sister. I feel sorry for the ones that don't have a relationship with their siblings. But my thing is to challenge you. The relationship that you're in, the relationship that you are considering going into or getting back with, is it worth it? Is it worth it? You broke up with him for a reason. Or for those guys that are used to being abused, you broke up with her for a reason. Why go back? God allowed you to escape Egypt. Why would you try to go back to Egypt? It ain't worth it. I know for a fact, right now, there are some that may be, look, you. This may not even be pertaining to you, but you know somebody in a foolish relationship. You know somebody that they feel like, well, you know, they feel stuck. They feel like, you know what, they don't know what to do. You know what you need to do. You just don't want to do it. But would you risk making your family have to come here to see your grave? Would you risk having to imagine your kids have they put their mama down, or a mother or father to put their daughter down or put their son down in the grave? No, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. So, you know, I appreciate y'all watching. You know, this is the funny thing about it. Lord bless, say the same. If God give me strength, God give me long life, I'll be here again this time next year to see my sister. So, like I said, I want y'all to take this seriously. Take this seriously. If you're in a type of relationship that you know ain't healthy, leave it alone. What's the point? Like I said, don't ever feel like it can't happen to you. The main ones that think it can't happen to you are most of the time the one, the main ones that it happens to. I don't care how good your boxing game is. And even if you got a gun, just in case they act a fool, then why would you want to have a relationship where it requires you to be armed? Just examine yourself, examine your relationship, and ask yourself if that relationship that you waited for all your life, just point blank, ask yourself that. So once again, I appreciate you all. I appreciate y'all prayers, appreciate y'all love that y'all giving. I posted on Facebook, I didn't make a daily devotion today, but I just wanted to just you know, pay tribute to my sister. But this video, I'm making this video to post. It's gonna be my word for today. My word for today is a word to you. What you gonna do for tomorrow? What you gonna do for today? So, like I said, if you know somebody that's in a relationship that's toxic, that's unhealthy, send them this video. You can send it to them. And like I said, if y'all want somebody to talk to, just to, you know, ask for help, and I'm gonna say this, thank the Lord, I've been wanting to make sure I remember this. I have no problem giving you advice to help you get out, but don't waste my time if you wanna hear my advice. Want me to talk to you, but you're not gonna listen. I've had some in the past, they'll ask me for advice and they respect me. They respect me, they respect the young man that I am, but when I tell them exactly what to do, they don't do it, or they do the total opposite. I have a zero tolerance now. I already had a zero tolerance before my sister passed. And actually, me and her were supposed to be doing some domestic violence stuff together. But now I gotta do it by myself. So, when it boils down to it, I have no problem people asking me for advice. But know that I'm gonna tell you what's your best interest. But most importantly, I'm gonna tell you what thus says the Lord. You gotta do all of it or none of it. And if you don't wanna do it, then don't waste my time. And I'm a very, very good steward as far as being with time management, being responsible for my time. And so for those who I minister to, I appreciate it. And I want them to take it to heart. I invest my heart. I jeopardize my sleep to minister to people. But now, only minister to people that's going to listen. If you don't want to listen, I'll tell you, don't call me, don't reach out to me, or don't waste my time. Because my time is precious, and I'm sure not going to jeopardize the time with my son or my relationship with God. So, like I said, I have no problem talking to people, but I need somebody that's going to not just listen, but do it too. So, if you want to, y'all welcome to call me. My number 214-908-3056. Yes, put it out there. I'm very public. 214-908-3056. That's for the guy or the young lady. Even like I said, there are some guys going through the same thing. Don't deal with that, bro. It ain't worth it. So I appreciate y'all listening. Y'all take care of yourselves. And, you know, thank y'all. Thank y'all much. Be blessed.
Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for another opportunity to come together one more time. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence right now, God. God, we speak it right now, God, that you have your way right now. Have your way right now in this service right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for the word that went forth on today, God. So, God, we speak it right now, God, that you help us, God, to retain what you give us right now. In the name of Jesus, we bind every distracting spirit. We bind every hindering spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, even somebody that's dealing with physical pain right now, God. We speak, God, that you relieve the pain right now, God. Not just the physical pain, but the emotional pain, the mental pain right now, the spiritual pain right now. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for recovery, God. We thank you, Lord, for healing us right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for this revival right now. in the name of Jesus. Not only bless those that are in front of us, but even those that are in the pulpit right now, God. God, we thank you, Lord, for helping us to get out the pit right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We praise you right now, God. Not just for what you've done, but most importantly for who you are right now, God. You are our healer, our redeemer right now, God. And we thank you for it right now, God. We clap our hands. We say hallelujah to your name, God. Hallelujah to your word right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank God for another opportunity. You may be seated. Thank God for another opportunity to be here. This is, first of all, I'm honored to be amongst family and friends. You know, like the pastor said, you know, I remember next door. I remember next door over there. I was a small kid. We've been fellowshipping ever since I was born.
Jesus.
And matter of fact, my twin, Lord bless, say the same on two more Fridays. Two more Fridays, we have our birthdays.
Yes.
And I thank God this year, I'm first of all, I'm happy. Because I remember a time I did not understand who I was. Mm-hmm. I did not appreciate that man I saw in the mirror. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be dead before I was 21.
Yeah. Come on now.
But thank God this year I'll be turning 50.
Praise the Lord.
I'll be turning 50. And I thank God every day. I have this, before we get ready to get into the message, I'm going to say this. You don't have to look like what you've been through.
Come on now. Come on, tell
it. You don't have to look like it.
That's right. That's right.
I'm telling you, God will clean up every residue that the devil tried to do to destroy you.
Come on here. Let him have
so
his way.
So we're going to go straight on to Ruth, the first chapter.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go quickly. I'm going to hit some high points. I want to just share with y'all some things. First chapter of Ruth. The eighth verse. I'm going to start at the eighth verse. I'm going to read real quickly. If you don't mind, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Those that have it, say, I have it. If you want to put me back, okay. And those that don't have it, say, I ain't got it, but wait a minute. Okay. We're going to go to the eighth verse of the first chapter of Ruth. And it reads like this. It says, and Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She's talking about her husband, their husbands.
Thank you, Lord.
As well as their father-in-law. 9, the Lord grant to you may find rest each in the home of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lift up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should have a husband tonight and shall also bear sons, would you wait for them till they are grown? Would you restrain yourself from having husbands? No, my daughters, but it grieves me very much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Somebody say against me. Then they lift up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, But Ruth clung to her. 15, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you shall go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. 17, where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death part you and I. The key verse, 18. But when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. You may be seated. Oftentimes we think about, in the book of Ruth, we talk about Ruth. We talk about Ruth. We talk about, you know, all the things that she did to help and to help Naomi and how she cleaned and met Boaz and all that. That's beautiful. But I want to today speak about Naomi. Amen. Naomi, she lost her husband. Lost not one but two sons. And she had the opportunity to tell her daughter-in-laws to go on with their life, which she did. But one left, shot the deuce. But the other one, Ruth, stayed. And she actually was pretty much begging her to go. But Ruth was committed to her. And so in talking about Naomi, let Naomi be a reminder to us. And if we could just put a title on this message. Today's message is entitled Pressing in Spite of Pain.
My God. Oh, yeah.
Pressing in Spite of Pain. Right, Naomi went through a lot. Amen. And the funny thing was, even when she was dealing with so much, she wanted to press away from someone that loved her. Uh-huh. Sometimes when we are going through, sometimes we push away those that not only love us, but those that can help us.
Come on.
Amen, amen.
And so the funny thing when we look at Naomi, Naomi didn't do anything any differently than we would have done. Because oftentimes what happens, sometimes we get so focused on the pain that we lose sight of the promise.
Come on.
Sometimes we look at what's going on in our life and we feel that all hope is gone. Sometimes, how they say, it's hard to see the forest from the tree. Sometimes we look at everything that's going on right now, but we forget about tomorrow.
Come on, come on.
And so, in Naomi reminding us that sometimes help is closer to you than you think.
Yes,
sometimes when we look at everything that's going on and we expect help from over here, God has a ram in a bush to bring help right there. And so when we look at Naomi, think about if you were Naomi, what kind of psychological mindset you would have when you telling this girl, shoot, shoot, and she's screaming out, no, no. Now, what do you do when the one that you're trying to push away from you telling you that I'm with you? In spite of what's going on, I got your back. In spite of everything that we have dealt with, guess what? We dealt with this together. And sometimes what happens when we go through things, though they have gone through things, if you really look at it, a lot of them that go through things, a lot of us that go through things, sometimes we deal with something that's called rejection. Sometimes the one that gives to help the most is the one that gets the appreciation the least.
Come on here.
Those that always have the back for others very seldom have people covering their back.
What you say?
And so when we look at Naomi, Naomi is reminding us that
Now she don't want to leave. What do we do? She's changed that I to we. Because now she realized she got somebody that's right here.
Amen.
That's refusing to leave.
Amen.
But get this, what was beautiful was when Ruth said, your God will be my God. You have to understand who Naomi God is. I don't want to just say was because he still lives. The same one is our God. If you look at a lot of times when we as believers, sometimes when we deal with things, sometimes some people feel or think that Christians don't go through anything. Sometimes people think that Christians don't hurt. Sometimes people think that Christians are not supposed to cry. Sometimes we feel like, sometimes some people may think, well, you're not supposed to show any weakness. They say, where is your faith? Not understanding when you heard it or when you acknowledge it that you're going through something that has nothing to do with you denouncing your faith or
that's
salvation.
Right. That's right.
So understand when it comes down to us going through things.
Oh, yeah.
We as believers, we go through things. And unfortunately, I'm going to say if I can be transparent, some of us go through more than some people who ain't even saved. Why? Because sometimes people think, well, I can take advantage of you. And sometimes when you need help, sometimes people say, well, God will help you, but not understanding what God is sending you to help me.
Amen.
And the bad part about it, I'm going to tell you, I commend you all leaders, but you all have a job that most people don't want. They think they want it. They think they want it. Like you said, they see the glitz and the glamour. They see all the getting into the cause. They see when church is out, how people flock to the leaders. But they don't understand what happened when the doors are closed and people are calling and waking up the leaders.
Amen.
Because my husband left me, but you ain't been in the church in 7 years. They call him. They call him and say, my son is in jail, but you know your son has been in church. Matter of fact, on your roll of the church, your name looks like it's fading off. But they're the ones that get called first.
Yes, sir.
They don't get the people that's needing the help or the people that's asking for help. They don't call the ones they always hang with.
Come on. Amen.
They don't call the ones that they friends.
Amen.
And unfortunately, sometimes in the midst of even biting our tongue,
yes, sir,
we still help.
Uh-huh.
Not because of who they are,
uh-huh,
but because of who he is.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, sometimes we end up helping people that's secretly trying to hurt us.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen.
So, but why do we do that? Because sometimes, because the love we have for people is much stronger than some people don't even understand.
Amen.
Some people don't understand the love that shepherds have for the flock. And it's not just their flock. It's flocks as a whole. I don't have to be at y'all house, but I guarantee you there are other people's members,
uh-huh,
that call you and they won't even call their own leader. They want a word from you, but they give support to them. So what do you do when you're dealing with all of this, when pressure here, church here, members here,
yes,
and we ain't gonna even talk about your own personal family.
Amen.
We ain't gonna even talk about your own personal life, what you dealing with.
Amen.
You as a pastor dealing with, you as a leader dealing with, you dealing with the church,
yes,
while yet you still dealing with hurt in your family.
Yes,
still dealing with hurt on the job. still dealing with all these things, and people still wagging on your tail, asking you, can you do some more?
You own it, preacher. You own it.
But in the midst of everything that we deal with, God is trying to tell us to press in spite of the pain.
Yes.
What I found out, if I could be transparent, God told me years ago I was going through a breakup. Something I didn't want. And after I dealt with that breakup, that was on a weekday, and I got a phone call from the pastor asking me to speak that weekend. And I was like, Lord, filter out this hurt in my head, in my heart. I don't know what to do. And let me tell you what God told me. God told me, when you're on your purpose, when you're in your purpose, when you're in your calling, regardless of where you at, what you do, and this is not just behind the pulpit, this is just life. God told me, sometimes you have to work while wounded.
Yes, sir. Good again, preacher.
Working while wounded. That doesn't mean you understand your hurt, but the thing is, you're speaking in spite of your hurt. Sometimes you have to go beyond what you're dealing with. Because you see what God said, you trust in God to do what he tells you to do in spite of the mess that you're dealing with.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Sometimes people have to preach. Some people have to preach. Some people have to preach. Some people have to preach. Look for a word to seek God to give a word to you while they're still asking God for a word for them.
Amen. Amen.
Now, one of the things I always say, this church, not I'll just say church as a whole, churches as a whole, when it comes down to ministry, performance, ministry is more than just when the church doors are open.
Amen. Amen.
How many ministers do we have in this sanctuary? Okay. I'm going to tell you this. Anyone that's proclaiming Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, anyone that's saved, you are ministers.
Amen. That's right.
Ministry, like I said, ministry is not just behind the pulpit.
Come on.
If we can take it personal, I guarantee you, I can point out some of y'all, and I know that people call you and they want you to pray for them. They want you to help them. They're seeking you for advice. They come to you, and guess what? Sometimes you've been chosen for people that you don't even know, but they come to you because they say they feel something. And so why in the world they come to you when you just little old you in your mindset? But in the midst of your pain and in the midst of your adversity, God is trying to help you to change your lenses. God is trying to help you to change your perspective, not just of what you in, but most importantly, who he is, but also who you are. Don't you know sometimes we shortchange ourselves because we don't really know our spiritual identity?
Amen. Amen.
There are some of us have had spiritual low self-esteem.
Come on now, preacher.
Some of us don't know who we are because we don't know who he is.
Amen.
Some of us, we feel like, well, because I've been treated badly by this person, I'm the shortest one in my family. I'm the one that's still single in my family. I'm the one that don't have any kids in my family. But we look at who we are in the eyesight of man instead of the eyesight of God.
Yes. Amen.
And this is not just for the senior people. This is for children as a whole, too. Because unfortunately, many people, I'm going to tell you something. When I was young, I was the one that had the dreams. Didn't have any type of understanding because when I would try to explain to people, they thought I was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to learn to, I couldn't share it with everybody.
No, you can't.
But I found out I didn't fit in. I didn't mind the crowd. But sometime in the midst of the crowd, I'll walk off.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes we will have that intimate time with me and God.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you watch that kid that's quiet.
Yes.
The one that's quiet often have a lot to say.
Amen.
Why? Because they're watching. They're observing. Sometimes they end up discerning the ones that be looking at you and talking to you. Oh, yeah, but praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to be a good. And he looking and they're like, uh-uh. That one's a snake.
Amen.
But wait a minute. He's a preacher. He's a preaching snake. And so what happened oftentimes because of things that have transpired, sometimes when that child, they say, wait a minute, something ain't right, and they tell truth. But what happened, the person, please don't get offended, but I want you to be able to be helped by this. But sometimes the one that hurt the child's ministry in the beginning is oftentimes the parents without being forthcoming in truth. When that child says, hey, are you okay? Something, you don't look too happy. And what happened, even the parent may have good intentions. Well, you know, yeah, everything all right, everything all right, everything all right. Ain't nothing wrong, ain't nothing wrong. And then what happened, now that child is conflicted with what they saw, but they trusted what daddy and mama said. And so now what happened when they get that discerning spirit, which they didn't know what it is, but we understand what it is. When they get that discerning spirit, now they're going to remember what daddy said and suppress that feeling because they said that that is a false feeling and that is truth. So now what we got to do, we got to go to our children and apologize and say, baby, daddy was wrong. The reason why I said that was because I was trying to protect you. Yeah, something is wrong, but everything going to be all right. So it's not that we are ignoring what happened, but what we doing, we actually let them know in an adult way, in our way, that look, what's going on, we're going to walk through this, and we're going to walk out of this. We're going to walk out of this. Amen. This is not going to bury us. This is not going to assassinate us. So now, going back to Naomi, if you look at it normally, like I said, we often talk about the Naomi and the Ruth. And unfortunately, when you look at, even like I said, all the laws that she dealt with, even when she would try to push her daughter-in-law away. Naomi, just like Ruth and Oprah, they were hurt. They were grieving. And there was an opportunity for them to stick together, clean together,
amen,
be helped together.
Because
sometimes when we deal with experiences that are like-minded, that's the opportunity for relationships. But what happened in the midst of Naomi's hurt and grieving, she did not want to be bothered. She wanted to be by herself. She was depressed. And get this, even later on in Ruth, Naomi did not want to be called Naomi. She wanted to be called Mirror. What does mirror mean? Mirror means bitter. In other words, the problem that she dealt with, the agony, the hurt, the pain that she was dealing with, the devil was trying to make her bitter. Because what happened once a person is bitter, don't you know bitter and bad things spread faster than healthy things? A cancerous cell spreads faster than a healthy cell. So if she is bitter, the devil want to use that to contaminate. The devil want to use that to infect. The devil want to use that to infect not just her, but the things that are connected to her. And so even though the name Mirror means bitter, but look at what Naomi names mean. Naomi means straight and beautiful. So even in the midst of the hurt and pain that she was dealing with, when people call, not just her name, let's look at you. When people call your name, they call it your character. So when your name, let's just say your name is Ashley. Your name Ashley? When your name is Ashley, all of a sudden, look at my homework assignment to each and every one of y'all. look up what your name means. First, middle, last name. Because what happened, we don't respond, even though we respond to our name, but we don't respond to that character. So we end up looking for love in all the wrong places and accepting people calling us whatever. And then we wonder why they're treating us like whatever. And so with Naomi being someone that was called beautiful. She was called beautiful, and when people call her name, she was accepting her character. But now she want to refuse that character. Because now she been looking at what she been dealing with. But in the midst of, she end up gathering Ruth and being able to help Ruth to become a part of legacy. Now, if you look at each and every one of you right now, there is somebody right now that's dealing with a lot. There are some that are dealing with a lot. And we still say, love the Lord, trust the Lord. But when I found out in the midst of what you're dealing with, that's an opportunity for God to flex his muscles on your behalf. See, with what we're dealing with, God is trying to give us the specific prayer request that we've been petitioning. Because it's easy for us to get a general message. It's easy for us to get a general thing. But I'm going to tell you something. I have some prayer requests. I need the God of the Bible to come and do it. Yes. Not just an ordinary thing, but an extraordinary thing. Yes. And so with that, when things happen, this is when problems come, it is what? An opportunity. Not for defeat, but victory on behalf of YOU. Don't you know sometimes when you're fighting, you're not just fighting for yourself.
That's right. That's
but also
right.
You're not That's fighting right. by yourself. Mm-hmm. When we fight, or when I'm fighting on behalf of my children.
Amen.
I'm fighting on behalf Amen. Of my family. Because somebody had to be the redeemer in the family.
That's right.
Somebody had to be that one person that's going to change and break that generational curse.
Yes.
Why you are always picked out of your family? Why you? Why you? Why? Well, you may not know right now because you're looking at how things look. But God is trying to change your perspective. God is trying to help you to see beyond the right now. God is trying to help you to see, baby, even though this hurt, you may not see it right now, but what the devil is meaning for evil, God is trying to spin it for your good. Because what I found out of every adversity, it leads to purpose. Purpose being revealed. You know, I never knew that God would be a healer until I got sick. I heard about it. But there was other people's testimony that I was sharing. But now that I know that I know that I know, even when she mentioned about she had the virus, I had it the first time. I had it twice. The first time I had it for 71 days. 71 days. But now I'm here.
Hallelujah.
And even though I'm here, I feel great. Because not just a physical greatness, but I saw the strength of God in the time that I had in my sickness.
Oh, yeah.
I had some me and God time. There were times I cut the phone off. Not because of, well, you know, people getting on my nerves. No, I needed to hear. I needed to hear. I found out in every opportunity, you have to have that intimate relationship with God.
One-on-one. Yes.
Sometimes even just being able to just remove those distractions and also be able to recognize distractions. Because if you notice, every time you get ready to do something for God, somebody can always call and get this. Not just call, but call and they don't want nothing. Some people, well, you know, you about to get ready to pray and talk to God, and all of a sudden somebody want to tell you what happened on a Desperate Housewives. You up here now, wait a minute. This person getting on my last good nerve. Amen. But in the midst of everything that you're dealing with, that you're dealing with right now, look at it as your homework assignment.
Amen.
This is your spiritual homework assignment for you to be able to start reading into the textbook and for you to be able to see what God's word said about that situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, the word of God is more than just for the preacher. Years ago, when I really surrendered my life to God, God told me to study.
Oh, yeah.
God told me to study like never before. He didn't tell me to read the Bible. No, he told me to study it.
Break it down.
And so I had people, why you, you ain't no preacher? Well, I found out we fighting the same devil.
Come on.
So in actuality, you're shortchanging yourself. Because the devil that's beating on the preacher is actually beating up on you. So why in the world would we deprive ourselves of ammunition? And so as I get ready to close, I want each and every one of us to look at what we're dealing with. Don't let this take you out. What you're dealing with, don't let it make you lose your focus. Don't let it make you lose your hope. Don't let it make you lose your expectation. Because the devil want to make you give up.
Uh-huh.
Why does he want to make you give up? Because he knows that you got the victory.
That's right.
The only one that can make you forfeit your victory is you.
That's right.
The devil can do no more than what we would allow him to.
We give him his power.
So we the one that got to be able to stop it. And I, as much as I love people, I can't do it for people. They got to do it for themselves.
Amen.
And so I just want to thank God for the leaders that are here. And I'm praying that God continues to bless you all. I'm praying that God bring, I'm seeing even funding that you've been seeking God for. I'm praying that God open up an avenue for you to have that building that you need for other ministries in your church.
Amen.
I'm praying that God bless you and have that marriage ministry that is needed in our black communities. And you're not alone. I thank God for you all. I appreciate the opportunity of being here. I thank God for you all. I'm praying for God to bless you and your family. I'm praying that God minister to your family. Don't give up on them. It's not a coincidence that you're here, because actually you were speaking to us, but you are crying out for your family. God is going to, listen, God is going to help you, but you got to give it all to him. Sometimes we can love people so much. We can love them, and sometimes we prevent them. Sometimes we block God from reaching them because we try to come to their rescue. You know what I found out? You know, those that know my mama was an anointed whooper. My mama had a belt and a fist and a belt buckle and a shoe. And sometimes she used a nasty fly swatter. But when I found out, if she's whooping on me and my dad or my brother would try to come to try to block or prevent, sometimes they would get some of the licks that were meant for me. And so what happened if we help people that God is trying to reach, and God did not tell you to reach to help them, then you have to obey what God tell you.
That's right.
Because it's not to hurt them, but it's for their benefit. Because God is not trying to break their spirit, he's trying to break their will.
That's right.
And you know what? It don't take God long to move.
Amen.
It just take us a long time to get out the way.
That's it.
But when God move out, when we move out the way, they give God access to come in. So I'm praying for those that are in jail right now. I'm praying for those right now. Those that are up here that she's representing, and even those that are out there. I'm praying for those that are in jail that God minister to them. Give them that desire. Give them that desire to listen to him Right now, there are someone, they are so fed up because they don't trust people. Even they don't even trust church people because of everything that's been said, everything that's been done. God is trying to show you who he really is in spite of the bad representatives.
Amen.
There has been a lot. There's been a lot that y'all have seen. Y'all traveled. And for me to be able to not just see you all, I've seen y'all with some elites. But sometimes you've seen some things that you weren't supposed to see in their mindset. But God allowed you to see it. So that way you don't put your trust in people, but put your trust in him.
Amen.
It's not a coincidence that you and your brother be together. Because to be honest with you, he got your back, you got his. Y'all had each other from the womb. But the thing is, there are some personal things that God want to come in and get closer to you than your own brother. God want to get closer to you like never before. God want to show you something. God want to show each and every one of us something, but there are some healing that God want us to receive. There are some hurt. There are some healing, and there are some trust issues that we have. And God is trying to help us to be healed and cleansed from all of that.
Amen.
So with that being said, I thank God for another opportunity. I thank God for each and every one of y'all.